What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Cigars and Everything Else podcast. My name's Jared. Got Denzel with me here. And we're going to get into a little cigar talk and a little bit of everything else.
Yeah, man.
Get started, my boy.
Yes, sir. Episode 79. We rolling.
Yeah. Hey, what we smoking today, man?
What we smoking today? Hey, look, I brought two sticks to the fight. So I'm going to let you know about my conquest this morning, which was a fail,
okay?
Which is an interesting fail. I wonder how you feel about this. So last episode, I talked about maybe going ahead and getting a light stick, a light leaf.
Yeah.
I went to Cigars International. Will you believe I was not able to find but like maybe two sticks that were light leaf?
Yeah. Didn't know
only
that.
Two. And they were brands I wasn't familiar with. So it seems like all your big brands, they
are moving away.
Oliva had one, but I wasn't willing to put it on Oliva's head. Oliva had one.
You didn't want to. You want to put the whole joint on Oliva?
Nah. I didn't want to do them like that. So it's like, okay, Oliva got one, but I don't want to leave it all on Oliva. So I backed down from that one. And I searched around of like two other ones. The bands didn't look familiar. The brands didn't look familiar. So I'm like, nah, I'm gonna leave it alone. I'm not gonna put it on a lesser brand either. So I gave up on it. I think.
Hey man, that would have been all right though to put it on somebody you ain't know. Because I mean, you know, that's fair. They still get some shine. You know what I mean?
But yeah, they would have got some shine, or they would have got it would have been tough on them if they didn't. If it was a terrible stick, like I'm
ain't nobody tell them to sell it. Ain't nobody tell them to sell it.
They put it on the market.
At the end of the day, you can make it. But you got to decide if it's worth selling it or not. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you got to be like, hey, man, you know, this mix ain't what I thought it was going to be. Abandon it.
Yeah, they put their name judged on the band. They put it on the line. So you're right. I probably should have put it on their head. But I was not willing to do it to Oliva, though.
I got you.
Too much respect.
I respect it.
But however, I did come to two different choices. I did find a punch that was a little lighter than the rest of the ones in the case. So I did grab that one. It's not a dark Maduro, but it is a little lighter than the others. But then I went with I had a change of heart as I was searching through again, and I came up with the CAO Mortal Coil CAO. Which is a stick that we don't smoke often. We don't usually go down the road to CAO too often. So I'm thinking,
I'm intrigued.
See what they got.
Hey, man.
So what you think?
Where we going? I'm intrigued by the CAO a little bit more than the punch. You know what I mean? Like I think the punch deserves to make an appearance, but I'm really intrigued by the CAO. Yeah,
we'll do CAO. And I will say this: the band caught my eye. It was an eye catcher. So it wasn't the normal CAO band that you see that you're used to. So it looks like they're stepping outside of their realm of normalcy and trying to give us something different and maybe trying to win those, you know, those guys who are kind of deep in the culture. Like for me with CAO, I'm sorry if I'm going a little bit long on this, but for CAO seems like one of those brands that are good for novice. You know, those occasional cigar smokers, they'll look at CAO, it's a brand they recognize, and they'll grab that. Plus, they have a lot of flavors. So it seemed like they lean towards those novice more so than the aficionado who's deep into the culture. So with this new branding, it looks like, with this Mortal Coil, looks like they're aiming for that seasoned cigar smoker.
Yeah.
That's kind of the vibe I was getting when I saw it and I picked it up. I was like, all right, CAO might be trying to go down a different path. And CAO was one of those ones that I did grab early on in the game when they had all the flavors, the vanilla joints, what was the Moon Trance?
They had the Moon Trance.
So it was one of those cigars that we grabbed for the flavor early on. So I'm kind of interested in this one.
Now, I tell you that. I was going to say that. I expect the Punch to be the better cigar, but I'm curious about the CAO. And what you said is what made me curious about it. And looking at it, just from the band and the branding of it, it made me say to myself, you know what? That looks like that might be an aim at a legitimate cigar. versus the novice stuff that they do normally. That's what made me curious about it. And I want to know if they do a good job going into it. Yeah, that looks like, it was like Rocky Patel could have put that out. You know what I mean? Like, you know, as far as the branding and whatnot. So,
yes, sir.
Curious. This is going to be interesting. But I do expect the punch to be the better between the two. Just because, you know, CAO, that ain't their specialty. They do the fun ones with the colorful bands and all that. And they're good for what they are. I enjoy them. Yeah. I'm not going to say they're bad. Yeah. They make good cigars for what they do. But when you step over into big boy world, you know, that's I don't know what you got. I don't know what you got in the heavyweight division. Yeah, I don't know what you do in the heavyweight division. You was a good cruiserweight. I don't know that you're going to make a good heavyweight. We'll see.
All right. So we'll see. This might be their attempt. This might be their attempt. We'll see.
Oh, what was the price point on that? And do you got the specs on it already, or you got to look that up?
I'm going to grab the specs. So I had both of them up. Let me just pull this one up real quick. Price point, if I can remember, about maybe $14.
Okay.
Yeah, about $14 for it. So nice price range. I like the price range. You know, anytime you stick a stick in that $15, $14, $15, $16 range, it's speaking to, you know, solidifying yourself as a really good cigar. That's what I'm expecting at that price range.
Yeah, that's the cigar price sweet spot right there. You know, when you in that, I would say, $14 to $18 range, you know, you putting yourself as one of the good cigars, you know, that everybody can afford, but we at the top of that. You know what I mean? Like, it's some nice branding.
The top of the affordable branding. So, yes. With this one, it is a Connecticut Broadleaf Nicaraguan. It looks like our binder is Connecticut San Andreas, filler Dominican Honduran and Nicaraguan. And is on that profile meter, one tick below the highest. So it looks like it might have some spice on it.
Look at CAO.
Might have some spice on it. So we're going to see. We're going to see. Don't let me down. Don't let don't let me down. Don't let me down.
I like it. So for me, right, this week I'm going to be smoking a Rocky Patel Vintage 1992, something, you know, everybody in the game should know about, everybody should be familiar with, but I'll still give you the specs on it. It's got a Ecuador wrapper, Honduras origin, and it's got Dominican and Nicaraguan fillers. You know,
we like it.
We gonna see.
So what's the profile on that? Do you have it available? Is it supposed to be
let me see if they had that profile. Looks like it is right. Is it? Average profile?
Right in the middle.
In the middle.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So it's rocky. It's probably going to have some natural kick in the very beginning. That's what I'm expecting. Yeah. I expect that every time out the gate with Rocky. All right. Yeah. So how
one of his classics. We'll just go straight cut. Straight cut.
And we'll do nothing too fancy. That's what it sounds like over there.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I'm going to go Rocky.
ASMR.
that stuff is big, man.
It's big,
man. Sit back and just listen to sounds. It's like,
you can
make money just by just making noise on your microphone and whispering at people and
all that mess.
It's a wild world we live in. The things that people pay for, man, they find value in. Which is something we might end up talking about today, finding value in certain things. But that's an interesting thing to find value in. I don't know who discovered it. I don't know who came with the idea that, hey, look, this is something that people like. I like that sound right there. Hey, using that.
Yeah.
Clip it.
And we're going to put that in the beginning of every show. Start off with that.
Ooh, hey, man, this CAO... I'm telling you, I've never been a cigar sniffer, but I've been growing to become one.
Yeah.
This thing smells good. Like, I was never that guy. Like, I always hated get your nose off the cigar, man. But this smells good. It has a nice little sweet aroma coming off the top. It's not a sweet stick, but it's like a nice sweet aroma that's coming right off the... right off the leaf right there. That's nice. That's nice. I like it.
You know, I feel a bit pervy every time I smell a cigar. You know, like I'm a, yeah, I feel like a seat sniffer or something when I do this. But it is what it is. I enjoy it. You know what I mean? Like, so, you know, feel hey, how man. You feel about it.
Hey, I'm salivating. Oh, shit. Don't let me down, CAO.
You went straight cut on this?
Straight cut. Straight cut.
Yeah. You done lost your punch. You done lost your V. You done lost everything, ain't you?
Well, I know I didn't lose it. It's just not in my main, my smoking area. You know, my home cigar lounge, as I like to call it. Mm-hmm. Okay, off of First Light. I'm going to say this. So far, off a first couple of puffs, it throws me back into some nostalgia right now.
Oh, yeah?
Those early days exploring CAO.
It take you there?
Yeah. So not to the point of all the sweet. But it feels as if they didn't abandon their core construction. Like staying true to what CAO has always been for years. But maybe just probably stepping it up a notch. That's what it feels like they're trying to do right here. A little pepper off gate. It's nice. I like it.
I'm going to tell you right off the bat.
Still true to CAO. Yeah, what's up?
This Rocky is Rockying. In a good way. This Rocky is Rockying. Everything I love about Rocky. But this is classic Rocky. This is classic. Vintage it's a classic. Rocky.
You know what I mean? Honestly, so, I think it's more classic than the Edge. More classic than the Edge. Yeah, it is. Edge is more classic for us. But that vintage 1999, that's classic Rocky. That's classic RP.
Yeah,
you ask me.
That 90
outside the Edge, that is the staple. I think you're smoking the staple there. I tell you this, man.
Yeah.
Let me get my hands on that Conviction, that Gold Bar Boy. I was looking for it today. Couldn't find it. I might order that one. I might get to the point of just go ahead making an order, have that bad boy shipped to the house. I want my hands on it.
Okay. You gonna go ahead and drop that?
What was the price point on it? Do you remember seeing a price point on it?
It's three figures.
Three figures.
Yeah, your eyes changed. I saw your eyes just change. It's $100 stick, bro.
Gotta think about it.
You forgot already?
I've only pulled a trigger on it on a three figure stick one time. And that was for a super special occasion. Yeah, I gotta come up with more special occasions then. But I want my hands on that Conviction, man. I want my hands on that Conviction.
Hey, man, I hope you get it. Yeah, $100. $100 stick.
Hey, so real quick, man.
Go ahead.
Since we're talking
Rocky. Box of 10 is 1,000, too, just so you know. But, I mean, of course, that's easy math. But, I mean, it seemed like they would throw you a deal on it, right?
Right. At least make it 900. You know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying?
$10 a stick, please. Hey, look, since we're talking about luxury sticks, three-figure cigars, where you can get a three-figure cigar, $100 cigar, that's 10 cigars you could potentially get. Great cigars instead of that one stick. And you know where I did the Davidoff for my 40th birthday? It was about $160, $174, 16 sticks. But it's luxury, and it's that price point for a reason. So I recently seen something pop up on my news feed, and it was Louis V, man, the LV. Came out with a new design bag. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Pharrell's behind this. I think Pharrell might be behind this. And it's, this bag is $3,000, and it looks like a brown paper bag. Little brown paper bag that you would take put your lunch in. Little lunch sack.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's $3,000. So that had me thinking about the question of, is luxury branding, is it worth it? Is luxury worth the branding? And I've seen some comments saying, hey, look, man, luxury is just there to, you know, take your money. They put luxury stuff in place just to keep poor people poor, you know, yeah. Make people want to shoot for something that they can't really afford and just keep people down.
Yeah.
I feel a couple ways about this, especially with that comment. It's a pessimistic statement.
Pessimistic sure. Point of view.
And like, is it somebody who couldn't afford it or somebody who might can afford it, but they see things from a different lens? So it's hard to go off a comment and say what kind of financial statuses or social status is this person living in for them to make that comment. And I see it a couple ways. Before I get into my view, I'm curious to know, what is your view?
For me, regarding the comment specifically, or in general, well, for luxury branding being worth it.
So give me your thoughts in general on luxury brand being worth it, and then give me something about the comment. Go into the comment a little bit. Cause I'm curious about both of them, honestly. Curious about your take.
So I personally don't, I think luxury branding is what it is, man. Like, I'm the type of person, I don't believe that you should go to anybody's place of business and complain about their prices. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just not a fan of that. Like, now, don't get me wrong, when I complain about prices, it's inflation related. I don't like when everybody around me is raising the prices on me. You know what I'm saying? But, like, I do understand that each company outside of an inflation economy, each company does have the right to raise their prices occasionally because events and things will occur that causes them to have to actually raise their prices. You know what I mean? So people's prices are their prices. I don't have no problem with that. So the whole luxury thing, you go in and you decide if that value is worth it to you. And if it's not to you, you don't buy it. Like, I don't get it. Like, you know, as far as people to have a complaint about it, you know, it is what it is. Is some of it overpriced? Yeah. Some of it should not be priced in the luxury category. Yeah. But you don't involve yourself with it if you decide that. But it's all a matter of perspective. It's a subjective point of view. What is luxury and what is not luxury? What's worth this amount of money and what's not? I think a lot of places, if you go look at a t-shirt, the company that sells it for $20 and the company that sells the t-shirt for $300, is their price point ain't far off from what they're producing it for. They're producing it for roughly in the same ballpark. One company decides to charge you, you know, three times what it's worth, and then somebody else charges you however many times they choose to charge you and call it luxury.
So you can't get mad. You can't get mad because they're charging $300, $200 for this t-shirt. If that's not your thing, don't buy the t-shirt.
Well, shop with them. Nobody puts a gun to your head and makes you buy this stuff. Like, you know what I mean? So when they say that, this goes into the comment where he says luxury brands are there to make you go poor and make you go broke. No, they're not. They're here for them to get rich. If you go broke in the process, that's on you. They didn't put a gun in your head and make you go buy that.
That's a personal thing.
That's a personal issue.
I like that point.
If you can't actually,
their price point.
Mm-hmm. If you don't have enough, if you don't have enough in your head to be like, hey man, I'm who I am and I'm secure within who I am, and you're not allowing yourself to be influenced by outside point of views of what you're wearing or what you think you're supposed to be wearing, then that's an issue you got to fix within yourself. But the brand ain't the blame for that. You're the blame that you and your peers. You and your peers are to blame for it, for allowing y'all to make each other feel guilty about it, and then for you not to have enough nuts to stand on it on your own and be like, hey, man, I don't care what y'all wearing. I'm wearing this. This is what makes sense for me. Like, it goes into the whole idea of, like, what are we, eight like, you know what I'm saying, on the playground, and you got to listen to what your friends tell you to do. Like,
yeah,
just do your own thing.
You grown on your own. You a grown working individual. You know what kind of income you bringing in. You know, you should know what you can afford. Now, those who pressure themselves to say, well, I have to have this because I see so-and-so have this, or so-and-so is doing that, I have to be there. Well, if that's the pressure you feel, then just get to a point to where you can be there. You know, it's not necessarily, what luxury brands do for me, and I don't know if I'm cutting your point short, but what luxury brands do for me, luxury brands make me want to step my level up to that level if I want to obtain a certain thing. Yeah. I like driving Mercedes, and I want an even better Mercedes at some point. So that Mercedes is not here to make me broke. Mercedes actually is driving me to increase my level of worth, income, monetary gain if I can, you know?
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily taking from me, but adding my value, upping my stock, in my opinion, because I want to obtain something. And then once I obtain a certain level of something, I want to be able to maintain it. And now once I maintain it, I want to step it up to another level to say I want to be able to afford that if I so choose to want it. Now, there's a whole lot of luxury brands and things that are out there that I say, that's not for me at this point where I'm at. Maybe down the line it might be for me, but there's certain things I can say that, hey, look, I like these certain things. This is my level of comfort, or this is my level of what I'm shooting for. I'm okay with that there. That's fine. But I do find value in luxury branding, but it's just how we mentally go about what we want to obtain. And are we leveraging or leveling out where it's beneficial for us versus being a detriment to us? Because we always talk about things that depreciate, appreciative value of things and materialistic things. And I get that. But sometimes it is worth having that luxury because that luxury branding, because that luxury branding comes with a certain level of quality.
Yeah. And that's what you got to be able to determine. That's your opinion of whatever has quality and what doesn't. I can think a coat is a good quality coat and keeps me warm and does the job. And somebody else can say, no, that's terrible quality, but it's all subjective. You know what I mean? Like, so you have to make your own opinions up for what you are into. And then you also have to have enough financial savviness to be able to say, hey, I can or can't afford this at this point in time. And then you make your decisions at that point. You live with it. But it's not on the brand. The brands ain't done you wrong. They're not here to do you wrong. It's you on you. If you can't decide what you can and can't afford, or what you're willing to spend money on, or what means something to you, or what's valuable to you. And like you say, you can use it in a positive way to inspire you to go be a better version of yourself, to be able to go out and afford to purchase things that you want.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can use it in a negative way and just go out and blow all your money that you can't and buy stuff you can't afford to do. But then at that point, you got some deeper rooted insecurities if you're doing stuff like that. Yeah. But for me, I don't have no problem with being materialistic. I don't have no problem with materials and things like that. Look, man, for all I know, we got one ride here. And it's over. I'm wrong and another group of people got it right. But as far as we can prove, when you die, it's over. So enjoy your materialistic stuff. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I'm not saying to go be irresponsible. You have to find a balance in all of that. Like, you know, but enjoy your materialistic stuff if you can afford it.
If you can get there. Yeah. If you can get there, if you can afford it. Hey, by all means, shoot for it. I want to be on yachts. I want the yacht life, you know. I want to live luxury. I want to be on the other side of the glass, looking at them like, hey, I wish they was over here, and then get to that level and look up and say, hold up, there's another level I need to get to. Hold up, I ain't quite there yet. And then use that as you know, some kind of inspiration to push me there. I enjoy the ride. I definitely enjoy the ride. And I'm not going to lie. Sometimes it does get frustrating. I do fall victim to that. So I can understand some people who get to this point of, you know, where they start hating on a certain level of people who have a certain thing, or they get mad when they see the Louis V bag that looks like a paper bag, a lunch bag. And it's like, you know, why are we doing this? and they hate it so bad that they start downing other people for the things they're able to obtain. You know, and I get it. I fall victim to it myself because I want a certain thing sometimes, and a lot of times I get impatient. That's just a humanistic part of our existence. But right. I'm able to pull myself back from that and say, all right, if I want it, let me just keep working for it. I get it. Maybe the brown paper bag, even though I kind of thought it was dope, I don't like the price point on it. You know? $3,000 for that kind of bag. Yeah. But it's a dope concept. And it actually looks pretty fly. I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah. And if you feel like it's worth $3,000, it's worth $3,000. If you don't feel like it's worth $3,000, don't spend $3,000 on something you don't think's worth $3,000 because of a label.
My $3,000 might be somebody else's $3,000. I guarantee you,
it's Kevin relative, Hart's right?
$3,000 is not my $3,000.
Yeah, it's relative also. What is $3,000 to you? If $3,000 is some throwaway chump change and it feel like $3, go buy it. If $3,000 feel like this unattainable thing and you finally got it, don't you dare spend it on no bag. Like, you know what I'm saying?
But yeah.
I think that's the problem is where people get irresponsible with it and they get irresponsible trying to prove something to someone else. And that's the biggest mm-hmm. issue is our own lack of self value and our putting our value based on how other people see us versus how we see ourselves.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So at the end of the day, Louis Vuitton. Well, think about it this way. Louis Vuitton is only great because somebody wore it and said, this is great. Somebody great wore it. And then everybody wanted to be like the person they thought was great. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But yeah. Without that, it's nothing. Like, it's the person makes it. I didn't say the man makes it, not the money don't make the man make the money. You know what I mean? You have to look at it from mm-hmm. that point of view. The clothes look good because I make it look good. Now somebody else want to wear it because I made it look good.
Yeah.
Not because...
We can talk about Balenciaga and the shoes they got when people were clowning people who were wearing Skechers and Asics, and now Balenciaga got shoes that look exactly like Asics and Skechers. But somebody say, hey, Balenciaga's, these are dope. But these look exactly like Skechers and exactly like Asics. But it's
cool. You fail for the branding. You fail for the branding. You know, and that's cool. You know what I mean? But
is it more quality than a Skechers and Asics? I don't know. I never had a pair of Balenciaga, so I don't know if the quality is any better, if the material or the soles last longer. They don't scuff up as easy. It's probably the same type of material. Probably made by the same manufacturers.
Yeah. They probably spent $20 extra on manufacturing them Balenciagas than they did the Asics. Maybe not even that much. The Asics was probably $3 and the Balenciagas was probably $8 to make. You know what I mean? Like, but you got to decide. You know what I'm saying? Just know this. Every time you go to the store, you're getting messed over. Mm-hmm. You're getting bent over and they putting some Vaseline on you and they putting it in slow. Every time you go to any store. When you can embrace
honestly, good. No matter what the price point is, because you're not getting it for the value that they manufactured it at, no matter what, even if it's Target or Walmart.
Even if it's the Dollar Tree for $1.25, which is, you know, it used to be a dollar, but it's $1.25 now.
$1.25 now.
And they getting over on you for all them little products that you bought in there.
even though it's $1.25, they still getting over because guess what? There still has to be a profit margin. Like you said, these companies are in it to get rich. They're not in it worrying about me and thinking about my level of income or what I'm doing in life. They're there as a business to make money, just like I go to work every day to make money. It's that whole cycle of things. Now you just got to figure out where do I peg myself? What area do I sit in to say this is my level of comfort and I'm fine right here until I get here. I'm gonna exist right here and be good with it while I'm building to get to whatever level of living I want.
Yeah. Yep. And you know, getting back into the whole thing of everybody's products is getting over on you. You go to the store. It's not their responsibility to look out and coddle you because they're trying to get rich. They sell you water. They're trying to get rich. They sell you water. Like, you know what I'm saying? I want you to think about that. Like, you know,
put it in a bottle, a cheap bottle at that.
Yes. And I'm going to sell you. And sometimes I'm going to sell it to you for $10 sometimes. You know what I mean? Like,
it falls out the sky for free.
Falls out the sky for free.
every day.
How much of the earth is covered in it? 70% of the earth is covered in it? 80? I don't know. It's a big number. It's everywhere.
You can go get you some water. And guess what? I buy bottled water. Lots of it.
We all buy it. I got lots of bottled water. Cases. Every week I'm buying bottled water, cases of it. And it comes right out my faucet and they charge me there. Why should I get double charged? But, you know, we all say, ooh, icky, the faucet water is dirty. And you know, in some cases, if you in Michigan, it is very dirty and you shouldn't drink it. I agree. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
In all the cities, you know what I mean? But I'm a country boy and I grew up drinking it right out the faucet. How they always make the little joke about them. Yeah.
Like, my kids, you know, not drink out the faucet. One of those. Like, faucet water. I'm drinking out the faucet. We ain't got no more water in the house. We ain't got no more water. There's some water in the faucet. What do you mean? What do you mean?
You should never thirst to death as long as you got a sink. But, you know, it's different times, man. And I guess education makes it that way. You know, once we you know better, you ain't supposed to drink it. You know, the city water's messed up, blah, blah, blah. But
yeah.
Eh. Yeah.
If that's the case, boil your water. Boil it and drink it.
Yeah,
boil it, drink it, and bottle it yourself.
There you go. And bottle it yourself and make some money. But in the meantime, you can't complain about nobody trying to get rich off of you, man. It ain't their fault. It ain't on them. It's on you. Clean your own habits up in life. And you know, and I guess the person in that comment, in all fairness, they're trying to teach people, you know what I mean? But
which is your responsibility. In all fairness, but if you're going to do that, you got to give the whole gamut of perspective. You can't just give one perspective. You have to lay out the full perspective of everything instead of just making one hot comment that in some instances can be completely
right.
There's
some truth there.
Depending on how people think and things that media is like really pushing to us, because it is some kind of brainwashing going on, but you just got to be tougher than that brainwashing. And then you got to just figure out what's what. Now you have to discern what quality, what luxury, what branding is worth my money. I guarantee you, when I pulled up in that Maserati that day, and we looked at that branding, and we looked at the quality, it's like
it was worth it.
Yeah, I can see what the quality is. I value their focus of quality and why the price range is in this price range, because the quality is different. I go rent a car in some places. I'm like, man, and I feel the dash. I'm like, this ain't it. I got to get into something else. Because you feel
cheap
the
leather, you know, you can tell the difference in the details and stuff like that. It's
details,
but you got to assess it, and make your own choice on that. You know,
yeah. What do you find value in? What do you find value
most definitely.
In?
Most definitely.
Yeah, man. So where you at with your stick, man?
I'm having a nice little pleasant ride so far, man. A little nuttiness, a little creaminess, man. You know, nice aroma coming off the cigar. I will say this, I have had to relight it. That I didn't like that, you know, but, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I can blame that on Rocky, because the construction does feel good on it. You know what I mean?
And I blame it on the cold. It's on the cold.
I'm going to blame it on the cold because it's cold.
I would say, CAO, real quick. Not as much spice as I was anticipating as it hit me initially, but the ride is nice. The ride is nice. A little more sweet than I was expecting, but it's CAO. You kind of expect a little bit. They're going to throw some sweet. I don't know why I didn't expect it, but it's in there. Some cinnamon nutmeg type of deal with like a... I don't want to say like that fig like I've been having with other sticks. But it's somewhere in that vein. I got to get some more notes to figure out exactly where I'm going. But a little bit of walnut, a lot of cinnamon, nutmeg type of deal. But it's really nice. Really nice. So is it right now living up to big boy status?
Hold on. Chill. Don't do it. Save it. Save it.
All right. I'm just
let's not make no judgments. Don't get hasty.
I'm expecting a heavyweight bout right now. I'm just expectation right now.
Some cigars are front runners, man. Right now, man, you got 12 rounds to go, man. That stick is only in the second round, man. It's still warming up, man. It's going to start picking up the pace. It ain't even switched southpaw yet, man. It's about to get busy in there, man. Just wait, man. Chill.
Watch when I go to this side.
Yeah, man. Watch when I switch stances.
You start working this jab.
Nasty in here.
Jab, jab, cross.
Yeah, bro. Hold on, man. Chill, man. I don't want to count CAO out yet, man.
And speaking of these boxing references real quick, man, is boxing going to come back to its prime? Like, I know you're a big boxing guy, and I follow boxing, not as close as you do, but I still had that fondness of, still had that fondness of boxing in my heart still. Because we come from that era, man. We come from that Mike Tyson era.
Yeah, the 90s.
Holyfield.
A lot of great stuff going on in the 90s, man.
Even going to the, you know what I'm saying? You got to go. Throw Mayweather in there, Zab.
Yeah, it's 2000. But
you know,
but
they Sugar all, Shane,
Floyd and them from the 90s, though. You know what I mean? So like,
Floyd's been in the game
a long time.
Yes. So I'm like, is it ever gonna come back to that prime? Like there were some fights. Wilder fought, Anthony Joshua fought, and I was hoping for a clash eventually. What's the deal, man? What is going on?
You know what happened with that, though? Is Anthony Joshua backed out, man, and decided to go fight Francis Ngannou. Yeah, after Wilder lost. Wilder lost, and they were supposed to fight win, lose, or draw. That was their initial agreement. Regardless of who, if we win or lose, we're going to fight in, I think, March. They were talking about, March, April or something. They were supposed to fight. But Joshua was like, you lost. It ain't no reason to fight now. So
I think that's what boxing's going wrong. Like boxing is just not giving the fights that we want to see.
Yeah,
and then when we get them, it's like too late. Nobody cares about it. So if Wilder and Joshua ever clash, it's too late. Nobody's gonna care about it no more.
It's too late. You keep blowing it. Yeah, but look, Francis Ngannou just lost his first boxing match against Tyson Fury, and you went and fought him. Yeah. So it ain't about the loss. Like you just, I don't think you want to fight. Like, him, but that's where UFC
does great. Win, lose, or draw, or whatever, they're still going to give you the matches you want to see.
Matchup.
I don't care that this guy lost against this guy and this didn't go the way. We want to see the matchups. We want to see Clash of the Titans, you know, in our eyes, and who we herald as the Titans. It might not be Titan on the paper versus this person or whatever, but we want to see this Titan versus that Titan. I think that's what boxing is just missing us, man. Like,
boxing is missing that. Boxing needs... They need, because, you know, Don King used to do that back in the 90s. You know what I'm saying? He used to put on them big cards and stuff where everybody
We need a new Don King.
Or either we just need, boxing needs to get, they need to get monopolized, man. They need one umbrella and everybody just fall under it, like a league, like, you know, how the NFL or the MLB or NBA. They need something like that, man. And the UFC.
That would be good.
Seems
but that's
to be that for mixed martial arts, even though they got other companies, but MMA is the big company and everybody goes.
You know, that's going to hurt the people who follow the Mayweather trend or that makeup of people leveraging their own fights and making their money the way they want to make the money. And I think that's probably where it's going wrong. That's
exactly it. You nailed it. That's it.
It needs to be like a boxing league. But then they just got to pour the money into it and get these boxers paid the way they need to get paid. Maybe that's it.
That's exactly it. It's too much promoting for themselves and stuff. And somebody just need to do what you said. So you nailed it.
So, hey, look, check this out, man.
Yeah.
So we talked about luxury brands. We talked about, even fights, desires. We got fights. We have desires that of things that we want, we see, we have been kind of trained to look for.
Yeah.
That's a question. Have we ruined, in this day and age, 2024 now, as we've progressed throughout the decades, and we've been kind of fed a way of life, a way of thinking, a way of wanting, a way of clamoring for something? Have we ruined the modern day desires?
We're definitely doing a good job headed that direction. I'll say that much.
It's
too much. I think what's happening is an overindulgence of different desires and then pushing that line on whatever it is you desire. You know what I mean? Like, and earlier when we was in the conversation about the luxury brandings, I said, you got to find your balance and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know, where you're not going crazy and going beyond whatever your limit is. And I think we go beyond our limits today. And that's part of what the problem is. So you see people that want a big butt and they got an extreme big butt. Or, you know, and it's just like, hey, man, the BBL looks bad, but people think, everybody keep telling you it looks good. And it's just like, you've gone beyond an unnatural state. And I used to see people want their beauty to resemble naturalness, whatever, how as natural as I can make it look. My makeup as natural as I can make it look. Mm-hmm. My hair as natural as I can make it look. And now people are just like, you know, they trying to look like whatever extreme version they can make themselves look.
And that seems like chasing the filter extreme. Look. Yeah, chasing the filter look. That's a big piece because they have the filters and they see one thing or they do the airbrushing and, you know, shaping their body the way they want their body to be shaped in their picture. But then when they don't necessarily look like that in all actuality, now they go chase it. And it's like, have we been just teaching ourselves what a certain thing is? And then we start desiring it, but then desiring it to a point of detriment. That's what it's seeming like. And it's like, going to detriment. What are we going to find as a true desire 10 years from now? It's going to look wild.
Yeah.
It's going to look wild.
It's going wild, man. Everybody's going crazy. You know, the guys want to be taller and they're getting knee surgeries now, bro. Like, you know, it was one thing shots in your feet, but knee surgery?
Yeah. I showed you an app that I had and it was some kind of thing that made my legs lengthen. It made me look, make me look taller in pictures. I started doing that enough. Hey, look, you know, I kind of like the way I look in them pictures, man. I'm gonna go ahead and
get this knee surgery.
My legs.
Yeah, man.
Lifting my legs out.
People crazy, man.
Now I'm gonna be walking around with these long legs and short torso.
Yeah. You gonna look like my man from Family Guy, man, with the long arms and reaching the tree and tickle.
I want the Wimby arms, man. Let me get the Wimby arms.
Wimbies. Man.
Long arms, long legs, short torso. Because you can't make the torso longer. You can make the legs longer. You can't make your torso longer. So you still gonna have a 5'5" torso, a 5'2" torso with 6'3" legs.
Yeah, looking crazy. Looking crazy. Looking like one of them potatoes, man. Did they put the little toothpicks out on them and stuff and stand them? You can look like that, man. Like, man.
So it's not just the women with the BBLs and the skinny toothpick thighs with a punk. It'll start being us with the small torso.
Yeah, it is, bro. It's going that way, man. It's the overindulgence. It's like, okay, I got this. Let me just keep pushing that line. And you know, I think we really got to get to the point where we start scaling back. You got to know when you cross the line, but people are just like, like I've said this before, things don't get infinitely better. You can cross the threshold where you've gone beyond the point of the best it was going to be. If you keep putting salt in your food, it's going to taste good for a while and then it's going to get nasty.
Put the salt. Yeah. Keep putting too much salt. Sugar. Put too much sugar in it. Too much lime, too much lemon. It was too bitter. You can go to a point of anything that's good being too bad.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's what it is, man. We've tested the lines to the point where now is we're going to cross it. We've crossed it in a lot of elements. I mean, even.
No, We've crossed it.
We've crossed it. In relationships today, you know, you see people talking about situationships and stuff and people are just like dating for like 5 years and nobody ever wants to, you know, get married or nobody ever even wants to claim that they with the person. And the relationship thing is so weird now. Like, and it's just like a relationship's not a bad thing. Like, you know what I'm saying? I get the frustrations with relationships. But it's not bad. Like, but now they are ruining the idea of one. And it's just going to go back to, what, Sodom and Gomorrah around here, where everybody just going crazy with one another? Like, it's...
It's because, like, look, it goes back to that...
Too much freedom.
...modern day desires. It's like, okay, well, this person is not meeting me at this desire, what I want. So, after I'm not being met with that desire anymore, I'm on to another one, to another one, to another one, because my desires are just so outlandish now, to the point that where nothing satisfies you. You're not satisfied with anything.
One person can't make you attain it no more. and it's just like...
one person can't make you attain it.
It's... No one person ever gonna be your perfect person. Ever.
Mm-hmm.
Don't even go into it expecting that. But what happened to loyalty? Like, you know what I mean? And just like, hey, man, I'm down with this person. I'm gonna ride the journey with them. Like, you know what I mean? Like, people cut people off now over stupid stuff. It's like, why did y'all end your friendship? Like... But you have these unrealistic expectations of stuff, man.
Yeah, have unrealistic expectations of things and unrealistic expectations of situations, unrealistic expectations of people and how people are supposed to react and respond. unrealistic expectation of career, jobs. Like, it was cool to just go get you a 9-to-5, make some money, you know, take your lunch pail and get busy. Now, that's not good enough. That's not good enough. Going to work is not good enough anymore. Being a honest citizen who gets up and goes to work every day is becoming a point of where it ain't cool no more.
No. They like, man, you got a job. I can't be with a man with a job. It's like...
Can't be with a man with a job. You got a job.
I don't get it. Like, I don't get it. Like, don't get me wrong. I understand that jobs take advantage of us and do us wrong is employees and stuff, but they got income. What's the problem? Like, you know what I'm saying? Everybody ain't going to get it on their own. Like, you know what I'm saying? There's going to be a lot of people that can, but there's going to be a lot of people that don't attain that. But then that goes to unrealistic expectations, which creates desires that are unattainable. Like, everybody's not going to reach the promised land to certain goals. You know, and everybody's going to have different paths and different routes to accomplishing what they want to accomplish. And you got to be willing to accept that.
This brings me to a point. So I was told one point in my life, I was in my young 20s. I can't remember what the quote was. I wish I could remember what the quote was, but this just came to me just now. But I was kind of told that my desires were too much for the level of where I was and who I was. I was told that at one point. And this is like maybe early 2000s, right?
Yeah.
And my desires weren't all that crazy. You know, I don't have like too crazy desires. Of course, I want my yacht eventually. I want to be on the yacht. I want that yacht life. But this is talking about maybe 20 years ago. Now we come to the point, fast forward, I'm seeing a lot of young people, youth or kids or whatever you want to call it, have certain desires, but the desires that they have doesn't match the ethic of work or the ethic of how they want to obtain it. It's like they want all these things, but they don't have the wherewithal to do what it takes to go get it. Even though back in the day, I was told something similar, but my work ethic was out of this world, in my opinion. I was working myself into a grave to a point. And I was still told that, like, hey, you want these things that you want to obtain, but it ain't matching up to where you are. And if I was told that 20 years ago with the work ethic that I feel like I had, maybe I'm wrong about my work ethic. I don't know. But I was working 3 jobs at one point, you know what I'm saying? And going to school, working 2 jobs while I was going to school and created a job for myself while I was in school. Mm-hmm. And I was told that. But now I'm looking at some of these younger folk, even older people, even people in our age range, have certain desires for things, and it ain't matching up to what how they're going about trying to fulfill these desires. Obtain them.
Yeah, but see, that's the biggest difference maker. Like when I say that everybody ain't gonna get there, like everybody might want something, but everybody ain't always gonna get it. See, we live in a world where the greatest thing to sell is hope. And there's a lot of hope being sold, whether it be through politics, religion, through the lottery, through watching these athletes get these $100 million checks and you thinking one day I can get that. and everybody ain't gonna mm-hmm. get there. But a lot of it is factored into yourself and other factors outside beyond yourself that's going to determine if you get there. People call them the gatekeepers today. You know what I'm saying? But there's factors that's going to get there. But you have to figure out what your path is going to be. And your path is going to be determined by your own work ethic, your own ability to maneuver through the world that you're trying to get into. You know what I mean? Like, so... Mm-hmm. But you got to be capable of having a work ethic if you think you're going to get certain things. You got to be capable of doing the homework to figure out how to accomplish what you want to accomplish.
Yeah.
And some
if you want a big butt, go do the squats. Don't go to Dr. Miami.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Go do the squats. That's the other thing. See, the world is making it way too easy to get your desires. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times when you go the easy way, it just ain't as good, man. It just ain't as good.
It ain't as good. Yeah. We living in the AI world, artificial intelligence. Everything is artificial. It's got to be authentic. It's got to be the real deal. If you want to go get something, if you want to have these desires in this modern day, it's going to take that same, you know,
some form of effort.
Same effort from the past, even in the modern day. I think like it's going in two different ways. Modern day desires and expectations are going here. Modern day work ethic and the wherewithal to go about getting it is going in the other way. One's mm-hmm. going this way, one's going that way. And yep. It's not meeting up.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to shortcut everything that we do. You know,
everybody wants a shortcut.
And it's like, what are we aiming for? And then like, as we go to each extreme, them desires are going to be too outlandish. It's going to be ridiculous. And we're just going to be chasing this thing that's just straight up awkwardness. Like you said, turn into a world of Sodom and Gomorrah. It's going to be people walking around with this artificial look. You're looking like NPCs or whatever, and just what are we doing? Like we're all over the place. If we can bring it back into a spectrum and keep it in a more narrow spectrum, we can get back to some sense of reality.
Yeah, I agree, bro. I think the balance has really truly been lost in today's times, man. We are losing balance. We're in such a rush to run from the past and shame the past and look down on how things were done in the past when they're elements that should have never been forgotten.
Never left.
Or moved on from.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Humans are going to be humans until humans ain't humans no more. So we can't stop doing the things that we've been doing to get us to this point. We got to 2024 somehow. And we still exist. We still are thriving in a sense. We can't just throw away everything that we've done in the past to get us here. Makes no sense.
Hey, bro, you just said something that made me think about something. You said humans are humans. I hate to open this door towards the end here, but real quick. Do you think that with all the modern day technology and the improvement in science and doctors improving on different procedures we're having on people, you think there will reach a time where we look back and we say, back in my day, people used to die, son. Can you believe that? You think we'll reach that day?
It's possible. I don't know, but it's possible. Like, people used to die.
Yeah, people die. What is death? What do you mean die? Well, it's when you ain't here no more, huh? I don't get it, daddy. Like,
it could be. You never... We.
Because people were dying from diarrhea just 200 years ago. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Dysentery, like, so, yeah. Oregon Trail, for real.
Yeah, Oregon Trail.
You died from diarrhea? Yeah. It killed me.
Hey, bro, I have had diarrhea that made me feel like I was going to die also. So I do understand that concept, man. I felt pretty close to death with it, so I understand.
But nah, it's real, though. It's real. Like, as we improve certain things, we might get to the point of, man, people used to die in their 60s, 70s, 80s. What? That's wow. It's possible.
You took it somewhere else. I said die, period. Like, period. Kid don't even know what death is. Like, what do you mean death? I don't understand this concept, father. Like, no, people used to die back in my day. Like, anyway, man, who knows, man? Let's get into these cigar reviews, man.
Let's do it. Hey, so what you want to, you want to go first? You want me to go first? What you want to?
I kick it off. I get off. Because, right. You know, everybody know what I got, what I'm smoking. You pretty much probably know what my review going to be. You know what I'm saying? But I got this Rocky Patel Vintage 1992. Classic cigar by Rocky Patel. Great construction on it. I got a great draw on it. I would say that I had a pretty good aroma coming off of this stick. It's got a little bit of oiliness to it. It's got some coffee notes, some earthy notes, some woody notes also. I picked up on a little bit of spice only on the retrohale. Didn't really pick up on it throughout the rest of the smoke on the cigar. I would say a little bit of a sweet element, maybe in the ballpark of like a caramel also. And those are pretty much the notes that I picked up on with a creamy smoke also. Let me let it be known that smoke was very creamy. I would say for this cigar, we rate them 1 to 5. I'm going to go with about a 4.1 on this stick. Real good start.
Ooh,
real good
start. Rocky with the 4.1. Rocky's staple. Rocky's staple. Right there, yeah. 4.1. I like it. Right there in the fours. I mean, honestly, I think that's where where it should be. I think I've had that stick before. Sometime long time in the past. Sounds about right. I like that for Rocky. All right, so CAO. Ooh, the Mortal Coil. Here we go again. That's where we at. Nice construction on it. I'm going to say this, man. I was a little worried in the beginning. My draw was very thin. Not a rich smoke like I was hoping to see on the profile. So I'm thinking, all right, here we go. CAO, poor construction. Novelty cigar brand. It's not going to give me anything. It's already starting to let me down. You stopped me on the halfway point. Where I was going to give you like, it's not the heavyweight bout that I was looking for. Yeah. But to this point, with what, 30 minutes passed or 20 minutes passed from that point that we were at, got a little further into the stick, about to get to that second, third, and I would say it's warming up. I don't know if it's ready for the heavyweight bout just yet, but it's in the gym. CAO, you in the gym right now. CAO, you are in the gym. So if you keep going in this path, I can see CAO sitting themselves with the heavyweights. So to give you a little bit of what I'm getting from the stick, like I said, I'm getting that little cinnamon, nutmeg, little pepper off the beginning, the pepper kind of dialed back. It still did have that novelty, not necessarily novelty feel, but it had that nostalgic feel of that classic CAO that I've always known and actually enjoyed, even though it's not a flavored stick that I'm used to with CAO. It's a solid stick. Solid stick right where, hit me right where a cigar enthusiast, an aficionado would like to see. It's right there where an aficionado would like to see it be. Right? Is it the greatest stick of all time? Absolutely not. So it's not quite in that Oliva, Davidoff, Rocky, Drew Estate. It's not giving that just yet. But is it head and shoulders above a Brick House? Head and shoulders above. sorry to throw out Brick House, but I'm just thinking of cigars that are less than it, right? Yeah. Much better than an LFD, in my opinion. But it's there. I say Rocky. I mean, not Rocky. I'm Rocky. CAO, you in the gym, boy. You in the gym. You getting ready. I see you. I see you in that bag getting it. Okay. They got that rhythm. Okay. So okay. Yeah, that nutmeg, a little bit of nuttiness, nice, good, strong tobacco. I'm ready to see where else it goes. So I'm going to give this stick. I'm not going to give it a 4. Not just yet. But I'm going to say it's a solid 3.8. I'm going to say it's a solid 3.8. I like where it's going. I like where I'm at. That thick, that smoke did start getting thick and rich, which I really love. The aroma is nice. The cigar smells fantastic. And it's a really smooth, fun cigar still. It did stay true to form with CAO being a fun stick. But a stick that should be taken seriously.
I like it. That's what I'm talking about, CAO. Come through. Welcome to the big boys, man. You ready to get in the big leagues, man? We're going to get you a title match soon. I'm telling you.
Yeah. Stay in the gym. Stay on that bag.
All right, man. Hey, look, man. You took a little shot at LFD, man. I like LFD, man. I hate that they had to be the one to receive that. You know what I mean? Like, you put them right next to Brick House, and I feel like that's unfair to them, man.
Oh, no. Okay. I'm going to say this before we
I get why you would say out. It, but you know what I'm saying.
I said
but
at LFD the same because you laughed at Brick House, and I was like, I don't want to throw Brick House in there like that. I'm going to put it up with something that's a little more, that has a little bit more weight. And LFD has a lot more weight than Brickhouse. So let me give a name that's more strong than Brickhouse.
I'll take that. That's acceptable, man. Hey, y'all, that's episode 79, man. We appreciate y'all for tuning in to this week's episode of the Scars and Everything Else podcast. Not podcast, but podcast. I'm sorry. Anyway, keep y'all cigars up, man. We'll get with y'all next week.
Yes, sir.